Report by His divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. My uncle, you must have visited Dwarka. In that holy place are our friends and well-wishers, the descendants of Yadu, who are always wrapped in the service of Lord Sri Krishna. You might have seen them or heard about them. Are they all living happily in their abodes? Purport. The particular word, Krishna Devata, that is, those who are always wrapped in the service of Lord Krishna, is significant. The Yadavas and the Pandavas, who are always wrapped in the thought of Lord Krishna and his different activities, transcendental activities, were all pure devotees of the Lord, like Vidura. Vidura left home in order to devote himself completely to the service of the Lord, but the Pandavas and the Yadavas were always wrapped in the thought of Lord Krishna. Thus, there is no difference in their pure devotional qualities. Either remaining at home or leaving home, the real qualification of a pure devotee is to become wrapped in the thought of Krishna favorably. That is, knowing well that Lord Krishna is the absolute personality of Godhead. Kamsa, Jarasandha, Shishupal, and other demons like them were also wrapped in the thought of Lord Krishna, but they were absorbed in a different way, namely, unfavorably, by thinking him to be a powerful man only. Therefore, Kamsa and Shishupal are not on the same level as pure devotees like Madhura, the Pandavas, and the Yadavas. Maharaj Yudhisthira was also wrapped in the thought of Lord Krishna and his associates at Dwarka. Otherwise, he could not have asked all about them from Vidura. Maharaj Yudhisthira was therefore on the same level of devotion as Vidura, although engaged in the state affairs of the kingdom of the world. Om Jnana Tinnam Visya Jnana Juna Shalakaya Chakshu Vinitanyana Tasmai Shri Gurudeva Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhupada Jnanda Shri Advaita Gavadha Shri Vasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So first I'd like to say how fortunate I feel to be here in Sridham Mayapur with all of you who have come for this Purnima festival. Unfortunately, I won't be able to stay until Purnima. Last year, I spoke at Benares Hindu University, and I met a professor there, and he invited me to come and speak at a major international conference on history of religion, which is being held in Tokyo, Japan. And the conference goes for 7 days, and I'll be speaking in a section that this professor has organized on sacred sites. So I'll be presenting a paper on Sri Mayapur Dham. And as I said, the conference goes for 7 days, and it just turns out that the day I'll be speaking is Gaur Purnima. So I'll be remembering all of you here. I'll be glorifying Lord Chaitanya in Tokyo. Of course, Benares in Kashi is also an interesting place. It's kind of the Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada said it's like the Vrindavan of the Mayavadis. Because there's so many of them there, so many Shankarites, sannyasis. It's not like our Vaishnava sannyasis, always wrapped in the thought of Krishna. They're wrapped in something else, wrapped in illusion. So,
But it's an interesting place. Very famous for its burning ghats. And some of the pundits there at the burning ghats are quite the comedians. As you walk by, they tell you, if they see your Western, they'll shout out to you, "Burning is burning." Cremation is education. So they have half the story that this material world is a temporary place, you know, full of suffering. But they don't have the most important half, which is becoming wrapped in the thought of Krishna. Because that is the real solution to all problems in this world. It is the real source of all happiness to become wrapped in the thought of Krishna. As Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, "Man mana bhava man bhakto," simply absorb your mind in me, and then you become my devotee. So becoming wrapped in the thought of Krishna, this is meditation, smarana. But first, before remembrance of Krishna, before becoming wrapped in the thought of Krishna, first comes shravana, shravanam kirtanam vishnu. So we have to be, if we're going to be wrapped in the thought of Krishna, we have to be able to give rapt attention to the messages of Krishna. So earlier in the first canto, you know, Sudha Goswami explains to the sages at Naimisharanya that he heard with rapt attention as Shukadeva Goswami was speaking the Srimad Bhagavatam to Maharaj Bhriksha. And in his purport to that verse, Srila Prabhupada gives a very important instruction. He says, one cannot hear with rapt attention without having a pure mind. One cannot have a pure mind without being pure in action. And one cannot be pure in action without being pure in eating, sleeping, fearing, and mating. So these four regulative principles are not just some device to make people unhappy. You know, they actually have a purpose. These regulative principles that we agree to follow when we take initiation are meant to make us pure in action. And then when we're pure in action, we can be pure in mind. And then when we're pure in mind, we can give rapt attention to the messages of the Bhagavatam. And when we are wrapped in such hearing, then we can become wrapped in thought of Krishna, just as being, you know, described here in this verse and in this purport by Srila Prabhupada. And so we have to give attention to becoming pure in eating, pure in eating and sleeping, fearing and mating. You know, I've been giving some attention to becoming pure in eating. Some of you may notice I'm a little more slim than I was the last time I spoke here. Because I do a kind of preaching where I'm required to, not required, but it's better that I wear Western clothes in a scientific preaching. So I found that every time I went out on a preaching tour, I had to buy a new suit. Because the 34-inch suit didn't fit, and then the next time I'd go out, the 36-inch one wouldn't fit. And then finally, when I got to the 38-inch pants, I decided I had to do something. So some nice devotees in Bulgaria put me on a diet, which I've been following for the past few months. And I think I've lost about 15 kilos of weight. But I mean, we constantly have to struggle with these things, you know, as devotees, but it's a struggle worth carrying out, you know, that the struggle to become pure in action, so that we can become pure in mind, and also then be able to give rapt attention to the message of Bhagavatam, so that we can also become wrapped in the thought of Sri Krishna. So, in order to focus the mind on Krishna, you know, the first thing is that we actually have to understand that we have a mind and a consciousness, you know, a conscious self. You know, we're called, you know, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And I had an interesting experience some years ago in the Los Angeles temple. Somebody called up asking, could you send a speaker on Indian culture? So the assignment was given to me, and I went with some devotees to this high school to speak on Indian culture. So we walked in with our harmonium and mridanga and kartals, and there was a huge auditorium full of hundreds of high school students. That actually wasn't just one class, it was many. So the teacher was about to introduce us, and she asked me, well, what kind of Indians are you? They were expecting Native American Indians. Yeah, as in cowboys and Indians. So sometimes you have to think quickly, and the preacher has to think quickly. So I said, well, you have to understand where this word Indian comes from. Columbus, when he sailed across the ocean to America, he was looking for India. So he called the people he saw Indians, but actually we're the real Indians from the real India. So several times during the talk that I gave, I mentioned Krishna consciousness. And you'll notice I perhaps don't have, you know, really precise Oxford English, you know, pronunciation. I slur my words a little bit from time to time. So during the question session, one girl raised her hand. She said, well, what do you mean by Krishna consciousness? So we're not meant to be Krishna unconscious, we're meant to be, you know, Krishna conscious. And of course, you know, the first thing is, if we're going to be Krishna conscious, that means we have to understand that we have consciousness, which today's modern materialistic scientists really don't accept. You know, they don't accept that there's an actual conscious self. You know, they think we're just a bunch of chemicals. That's all there is. And somehow, you know, they believe that So they don't really accept that there's something real in the world called consciousness. They think, well, somehow or other, there's something's happening because of, you know, chemical combinations in the brain. But really, there's no such thing as consciousness. But actually, there is. There is such a thing as consciousness. Because we can see that despite all the changes that the material body, composed of all these chemicals, go through, the conscious self remains the same. You can distinguish, as Krishna tells Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, that there's something that doesn't change, even though the body is going through so many changes, from boyhood to youth to old age. There's a something that remains the same. And even when the body is finished, that conscious self will still remain, and then will enter another body. So that is
fundamental teaching of the Bhagavad Gita. That's the beginning of it. So these materialists, they simply think at a certain stage in the evolution of matter, there is something that we call consciousness that emerges. So I guess it wouldn't be a proper Buddhist class if I didn't take a swipe at Darwin. So even he really didn't understand that. Actually, earlier this year, if you're going to attack somebody, it's best to, it's very good if you can attack them in their homeland. So earlier this year, I went on a speaking tour in England to 15 cities to attack Darwin, from London in the south to Edinburgh in the north. And in a strange way, I actually found myself engaging Darwin in Krishna's service. Because I was, after my lectures, I was selling books, books against Darwinism, some of them authored by me. And people were paying for the books with 10-pound notes. So does anybody know whose pictures on the 10-pound note in England? It's Darwin. they were giving me these 10-pound notes with Darwin's picture on them for books against Darwinism. And I made quite a collection of them. So you could say that I wound up with Darwin right in my pocket. So we do have consciousness, and we're meant to engage this consciousness in rapt attention to the messages of the Bhagavatam. And this is a qualification for being a good disciple. And Srila Prabhupada was himself an example of that. In 1932, he went to Vrindavan, because his spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, was engaged in a parikrama there, a pilgrimage. So Srila Prabhupada was not able to take part in the whole parikrama, but he joined for a part of it. And in the evening, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was speaking the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. And some of the pilgrims were there, some of the Gaudiya sannyasis were there. But the Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur could of course speak for many hours on the topic of Krishna conscious philosophy. So he was speaking 1 hour, 2 hours, and after some time, some of the pilgrims started to go. There was a tour going to one of the temples, Shesheshahi Temple. And some of them left, and gradually some of the sannyasis began to leave to take care of other business. But Srila Prabhupada remained, hearing with rapt attention the message of his Guru Maharaj. And then later, a month later, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur came to open the Gaudiya Math temple in Allahabad, which is where Srila Prabhupada at that time had his business, the pharmacy. But he was also a big supporter of the Math there. So the temple president was a devotee named Atulananda. And when Srila Prabhupada learned that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was coming to Allahabad to open the temple there officially, and that there was also going to be an initiation ceremony, he asked if he could be initiated. And Atulananda said, yes, of course,
I'll present that to him when he comes. So when he came, Atulananda said to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, yes, this is Abhay Charan Day. He's a big supporter of our activities here, and he wishes to become initiated, and we think he would make a very good disciple. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur remembered Srila Prabhupada from Vrindavan, and he said, yes, he likes to hear, and therefore I have marked him, and I will accept him as my disciple. Of course, Srila Prabhupada had for a long time regarded himself as a follower of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, but on this occasion, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati formally accepted him and noted that his special qualification was that he liked to hear. So, we should also like to hear the message of the Bhagavatam. Because if we learn to hear the messages of the Bhagavatam and the other Vaishnava literatures, then we'll also become wrapped in thought of Krishna. And when we become wrapped in thought with Krishna, then we experience ecstasy. And we can see this if we carefully study the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srimad Bhagavatam. We can see that the devotees who become wrapped in thought of Krishna, they experience bliss, they experience ecstasy. Every day I study the books of Srila Prabhupada and also other books as well. So one of the books I'm going through now is the Bhakti Ratnakara of Narahari Das, which contains many stories of histories of the devotees of Lord Chaitanya. And it seems that this book was written at a time similar to the time that we now exist in. In other words, this book was written at a time when some of the followers of Lord Chaitanya were still present on earth, but many of them were disappearing. So, this book contains stories of the lives of devotees like Srinivasacharya and Shamananda and others. And they would be going from place to place, to Vrindavan, to Orissa, to Jagannath Puri, to Mayapur. And sometimes they would be very happy to meet the surviving associates of Lord Chaitanya. But at other times, it would say their hearts would be ripped to shreds on the occasion of the departure of Lord Chaitanya's associates, Vishnu Priya, his wife, and the other associates. They were leaving, it would appear, day by day. The number of Lord Chaitanya's associates would be decreasing. So we're at a similar time in the history of our movement after the departure of Srila Prabhupada. Many of Srila Prabhupada's personal associates are still here, but as we see, now they are starting to leave. And this will go on, and more and more of them will leave. So we should take advantage of the association that's there. But in any case, this book, like many other books by our great Gaudiya Vaishnava saints, describe devotees who are always wrapped in the thought of Lord Chaitanya, wrapped in the thought of Lord Sri Krishna. For example, I've been reading the story of Gauridas Pandi, who was always wrapped in the thought of Lord Chaitanya. So he was living in one place. He was staying as a hermit in one place on one side of the Ganges River. So Lord Chaitanya went to visit him once. With some difficulty, he crossed the Ganges in a boat, and he went to visit Gauridas Pandi. And when he arrived there, he gave Gauridas Pandi the oar, the paddle, for the boat that he had used to cross over the Ganges. And he told him, I want you to use this paddle, this oar, to take the conditioned souls who are drowning in the ocean of birth and death to the other side, to the spiritual world. So sometimes you hear this phrase, up the creek without a paddle. And that's our situation as conditioned souls in this vast ocean of birth and death. We're up the river without a paddle. But the great acharyas and the great devotees of Lord Chaitanya, like Gauridas Pandi, who's mentioned in the Bhakti Ratnakara, they have the boat. They have the paddle that can take us across this vast ocean of birth and death. So we should take advantage of that. We should become pure in our activities so that we can become pure in mind, so that we can give rapt attention to the messages of the Bhagavatam, and that way become wrapped in thought in Krishna. Srila Prabhupada, does anybody have any questions or comments? Yes. A question is, what has been the response to my latest book, which is Human Devolution, a Vedic Alternative to Darwin's Theory? Well, actually, I just received yesterday an email message from an important biologist in Italy. His name is Dr. Scaramonti, and he's the editor of a scientific journal called Revista Biologia, which means it's Review of Biology. And they publish articles from around the world, some in English, some in Italian. So he said, I've just finished reading your book, Human Devolution, and I'm going to review it in this scientific journal. He said, I'm going to give it a very positive review. So I'm kind of looking forward to receiving that. So last year, I was invited to Bali by the devotees there. And the largest university there is called the Udayananda University. I think that's what it's called. So they arranged to have a whole seminar where I was the chief invited guest on this book, Human Devolution. So when you went to the university, they had big banners, Human Devolution, Vedic Alternative to Darwin's Theory. and the leading professors at the university were there, and practically all the students came as well to this seminar. And the devotees arranged for them all to get huge plates of wonderful Indonesian prasadam. And if you've ever had a chance to go to Indonesia, you'll see that they feed, the devotees feed everybody very nicely there with very exotic preparations. I think while I was in Bali, I had seven fruits that I'd never even seen or heard before. Amazing place. So I was able to speak about the book at the Bhaktivedanta Institute conference that was held in Rome late last year. So thus far, there's a good response to it. Thank you for asking. Yes?
When they do the heart transplant, there was an accident in England, and there's a very famous doctor who took an Egyptian. There was a many heart transplants. So this is the heart of somebody who just had an accident. Yeah. So how is the scientific, how do you think from the consciousness point of view?
Did everybody hear the question? Okay. So the question was, what about heart transplants? I mean, how do we understand that in terms of consciousness and the soul? You know, somebody may be involved in an accident and they get a heart transplant. And Srila Prabhupada was asked this question by his disciples because heart transplants were being done at that time. So just like if you're sitting in a chair, and if somebody takes the chair away and gives you another chair, it's not so hard to understand. So the soul is there, and we hear it's situated in the heart region. So, you know, one heart is taken away, and another heart is put there, the soul's still there, sitting in the same place. So that's, you know, the explanation that Srila Prabhupada gave to the heart transplant question. Any other questions? Yes.
My question is, thank you for the class. You mentioned that to come to the platform of Krishna Devata, being fully absorbed in Krishna, we have to be clean in our actions, our Krishna mind, and our actions, and our eating, sleeping, hearing, and mating. So it seems like the foundation is in eating, sleeping, hearing, mating. We can kind of get that together, and we have some hope to progress. So, is it enough just to follow the four regular principles, or should we strive for some higher standards of being, let's say, clean in our eating, sleeping, making?
There are the principles of Vaishnava etiquette, you know, as well. If we're creating offenses to the Vaishnavas, to the Dham, to Krishna, to the deities, then we may technically be following all the, you know, four regulative principles, but if we're doing that and we're committing offenses, then that's not good. So obviously this instruction is focusing on something that's very essential and very fundamental, but there are further understandings of how we have to perfect ourselves, yes. Anything else? Oh, there's something? Yes?
So the
question is, why in the world generally don't we hear more about the ancient Vedic culture? It seems that many people think, you know, the origin of civilization was in, you know, the Middle East. You know, according you know, the standard ideas. You know, they think that civilization, you know, began 7,000 or 8,000 years ago, basically, in the Middle East. But I think it's because of lack of information. For example, just here, close by in Mayapur, there's a place called Suvarnavihar. And the story is that once, I mean, as far as I know, somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, but as far as I know, once Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was taking some of his disciples on a pilgrimage from, you know, the Bhajan Kutir of Bhaktivinoda Thakur to Nrisingapalli, the place of Lord Nrisingadeva. And they were walking by this place, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said he wanted to purchase this land. So the landowner told him, Maharaj, this land is not very good. It's just some jungle with some tigers and jackals in it. If you want some land, I'm prepared to give you some very nice land. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, no, I want this land. So the landowner gave it to him. And later, he sent his disciples to explore it a little bit. And they found the remnants of a palace, some remnants. And he told them that these were remnants of the palace of King Suvarna Singh, who lived in this place in the Satya Yuga, which is almost 3 million years ago, 3 to 4 million years ago, depending upon when in the Satya Yuga it was. So I think the devotees go there in the parikrama, but you can see, you know, the place. There's a little Gaudiya Math temple there that says Satya Yuga temple or something. So these remnants are there all over India. You don't even have to dig into the ground to find them. There are many temples and sacred places still visible that have been there since Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga. So I'm trying to do my bit to make this known. And hopefully the end result will be people will have eventually a better understanding of the actual history of civilization and culture in the world. Okay, it's almost 9 o'clock, though, so I think we'll stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.